Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Can you put your hands together and celebrate Jesus this morning? Can you do it like you're celebrating a king? Thank you, Jesus. Please sit up in heavenly places. I want to encourage us as much as possible. I usually will do this most of the times in service because I know the level of distraction around the world. I want to encourage you to please avoid the use of your phones for any other thing other than searching for the scriptures. If it is possible, put it on airplane mode so that you don't get notifications that will distract you. God is in his holy temple, and when he speaks, we should listen. It's our health and healing Sunday. And as a result of that, I told you on Sunday last week, we're going to get medical doctors talk to us about our health. Then we will be praying for healing this morning. So if you are outside, those of us that are outside, please ensure not to be distracted. I want to believe the sound is very okay there. Can you hear me, those of us outside? Can you hear me? Yeah, thank you. I can hear voice of those. And those of us up also, please just focus. The screen in front of you, just keep your gaze there so that you can see what's happening. I know we have some blind spots on that corner. That means they are not able to see here very well. We're working on fixing screens there. Just bear with us. Try as much as possible to focus and listen attentively. One of the things I've come to realize is that our health management is simply a sowing and reaping thing. Whatever you sow, you will reap. That's the conclusion when it comes to our health. And unfortunately, many times, a lot of people are not conscious until they start reaping a harvest that they never prepared. In fact, they worked it out. That was the seed they sowed. But they didn't know that they were sowing such kind of seeds. So please, I want you to pay attention, listen attentively, and get the best. Some of the things you learn, you might even want to share with your friends and other people around you. And you will always need the things that you are learning. Always need it. So this morning, the first service we had, Dr. Shayo and Dr. Motala here, and they are still here in this second service. I said many years ago, our work here now as a church is about 10. This year is 10. They were part of the first set of people that I nurtured and mentored when they came to school many years back, and Shia was ushering, used to carry chairs a lot then. And Susan was in choir, and she also did some things on campus leadership. And eventually, they are medical doctors today, both of them, and they are married. And they practice for now fully, and they work with the hospital inside the Redemption Camp, that big hospital inside the Redemption Camp, that's where they work. But thank God that they are able to come today. They are not on shift this morning, or they shifted themselves from the shift. So thank God they are here to be a blessing to us. We're going to receive both of them this morning. Can we put our hands together this morning as we receive Dr. Shire and Dr. Susan to be a blessing to us? Keep clapping as they come up. Keep clapping. So they will share with us, talk to us. Then after they are done with that, we will also get to answer questions so that we can ask them. In the first service we did, it was a good time for those that were around. So please enjoy the best. Don't be distracted by anything. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Papa. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Pastors, for having us. Good morning, church. Smile, smile. I mean, there's such a presence in the house this morning. A very strong presence of God is here. And healing starts from the mind. It starts from your heart. So I pray, God, that you would help your people, that your heart is able to carry the faith that they need to receive their healing because it's already available in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're talking, Dr. Fola, we're talking about our health. I'll be talking about some common diseases that we have in our community, and he would talk about lifestyle modifications and management. So according to WHO, World Health Organization, health is defined as a state of physical, mental, and social well-being, and not just a mere absence of disease, meaning that you can be looking healthy and be fine, looking fit, but your mind is sick. And that's where I'm going to start from, because I felt so led to talk about depression in this season. I don't know why, in this service. It's just a very strong feeling I had in my spirit. And because we have a lot of young people, we have adults and we have the elderly, but we have a lot of young people here, we would see that the prevalence of depression has gone on the rise over the couple of a decade or more than a decade right now. Maybe because the resilience we have is not like what our fathers had. But the truth is, even over there, at their time, people still commit suicide. They take poisons and they kill themselves because they just had depression. Their mind is sick. And they feel the way they can end their suffering is by killing themselves. But I want to tell you today that that doesn't solve the problem. You only leave your family in shambles, your loved one in a forever mode of loss and grief, because killing yourself will not end anything. I know you love yourself so much and you feel, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through this suffering? And I think it's best to end everything. So if you are here, there are some signs and symptoms of depression. You feel that you have not been concentrating well at work. You've lost concentration, not even only at work, at home. You've lost interest in pleasurable activities. Things that normally would excite you, they don't excite you. You just want to be on your own. You've lost appetite. You cannot sleep. Those are the common symptoms of depression. You need to seek help as soon as possible. There are grades of depression. You have the mild, the moderate, and the severe. By the time it starts affecting your productivity and your work, it becomes moderate. By the time you start having psychotic symptoms, hearing things that nobody else hears and saying things that nobody else can see, you're already having a severe depression. And before it gets to that level, I would appeal to you that you seek help. There are lots of triggers to depression, not necessarily a loss of a dear one. For some people, when they lose somebody, they lost a job, or something major happens to them in their life because they can't bear that stress. Their body shuts down, their mind shuts down and goes into the mode of depression. For some people, they just have everything. I mean, they have money. I've seen patients that they have everything you can pray for in the world, but for some reason, they are battling with depression because their mind and their soul is sick. And like the choir sang, with joy, we draw from the well of salvation. And the antidote to depression is actually joy. So I will just appeal to you that whatever you're going, you have pastors, amazing men of God. You don't have to go through it alone. I don't know if somebody is here that is listening to this, because I feel strongly this message is for somebody. Speak to them. Get help. Get therapy. Talk it out. Speak it out. By talking alone, in fact, that's what we do. The first treatment for depression, we start with talking therapy. If it's not working, we combine with medications, okay? Talking alone would help you. And I believe by God's grace, your mind is healed and you'll be fine in the name of Jesus. Okay, so I'll also be talking about some common diseases that we have, both men and female, and the ones we have in more in females than males, and ones we have in males. So we know that there are common health issues, hypertension, diabetes. We are even having autoimmune conditions in the rise. Lupus and so many other things that is going on now. Terrible, unimaginable sicknesses emerging, you know, as the year runs out or as the day goes by. Okay? And we have some that are more common in women. Breast cancer, cervical cancer, fibroid. We have more common in males, prostate cancers, and the rest of it. Okay? So we're talking shortly. It's a very short time. We might not be able to talk on everything, but we'll try to touch on all these parts and dive into questions. If you have any questions, please, you can ask your questions, and by the grace of God, we'll be able to answer them. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Just in addition to what she already mentioned, there's the spiritual aspect to dealing with depression, and it starts by paying attention to what you are being taught in the house of God. And the Spirit of God laid it in my heart while we're worshiping. So just to say this, this is way different from health talk, but pay attention to what you learn in the house of God. And it's not enough to say that after every service you would, Daddy, I'm going to worship you when I go home. I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to pray more, and only to come back the next Sunday not doing anything about it. The truth about it is that a proof that you meant what you said to God is in your actions. An example is the story of Anna. A proof that she meant that she was going to return Samuel back to God was actually returning Samuel, even if she cried while she was saying it. A proof that you meant you were going to study the Word of God or pray throughout the week is in your actions. It doesn't matter whether you cried or not. You have to prove it to God that you meant what you said. And that being said, the essence of a gathering like this is to help us create awareness of our health and to also help us seek health care or know when to seek health care. There are a lot of diseases that we have out there, and to be fair, if we pick just one of them to discuss here, we will not be done. 40 minutes will not be enough to discuss just one. So what we are going to do is just to give like a brief understanding of the ones that are common amongst this age group and how our lifestyles can affect all these conditions. And the first one is blood pressure. Most times when we talk about blood pressure, it's in two main broad categories. There's the one that has to do with inheritance, all right? And in these situations, this particular person is maybe the father, the mother, grandparents. You find out that there's somebody in the family that had it, and then there's going on to the children and all of that. And then the one that I want to focus more on is the one that is acquired, if there's anything like that, in the sense that it is our own decisions that have led to having high blood pressure. And many of the things that can affect is our diet. To begin with, many of us have so much salt, so much spices in our diet, and these have the capacity to raise the blood pressure. And it's commoner even amongst we Yorubas. Before you know it, I sprinkle all the salt inside it. And salt is sodium chloride. Sodium has the capacity to increase the blood pressure. So one of the lifestyle modifications that we can do in this situation is reducing our spices and all of that. Another one is sedentary lifestyle. You see, what I mean by sedentary lifestyle, which is common amongst the more of the 45, 50s, 60s, thereabouts, especially when they are going to retire, they have worked when they were young, and now they are less busy. Just sitting down in a place, not being busy, not doing anything, just wake up in the morning, just watch TV, eat, and relax, and all of that. The point is that it has the capacity to raise your blood pressure, not making the heart act very active. This is one of the reasons why you see people doing cardio, and their blood pressure is coming down, because the increase in the activity of the heart is helping the heart control the blood pressure appropriately. So sedentary lifestyle is also linked to having high blood pressure. So one of the ways we can deal with this high blood pressure is actually being active, from doing light exercises to doing moderate exercises to doing more serious exercises. Another thing that can play a major role in our blood pressure is the weight of the human body. So in people that have higher body weights, that's people that are obese, people that are on the big side, and you don't necessarily have to be very fat to be obese. The concept of obesity is in relation to your height, which means for a short person, a weight of 75 kg can be obese for that person. Which means that you don't look as big as some people doesn't mean that you're not obese. You need to firstly find out what category you fall under, and that has to do with the body mass index. So I won't bore you with how to calculate body mass index. I don't think you're meant to know that. You should go to the hospital as much as possible. Just tell them, I want to know my BMI. And they will calculate it for you, and they will let you know, okay, you are overweight, you are obese. They will let you know that, okay, at this stage you are, if you don't do anything about it, you'll become very big. For your height, you are obese. Because many of the problems that people complain about are attached to obesity. Oh, doctor, I'm having lower back pain. Oh, doctor, I'm having knee pain. Oh, doctor, I'm not just able to sleep well at night. Oh, doctor, I noticed that my menstruations are not regular. It's not regular. So these things can also be tied down to obesity. Someone having high blood pressure, someone having diabetes, tied down to obesity. So most of the times, many people do not usually come to the hospital early. By the time they are presenting, the blood pressure is always too high, and we have to start them on medication. And this goes to the same thing, awareness. Many people are not even aware that they should check their blood pressure or check their blood sugar from time to time. For someone whose father, they know that, oh, my father had high blood pressure. No matter how young you are, you should check your blood pressure from time to time. I know that some people do the business now, and they just carry blood pressure monitors up and down. It's safe, easy. Just go to a pharmacy, nearby pharmacy. They always have. Check your blood pressure. Know what it is. It's better to know, because if you do not know, it will cost you more. Because the illnesses don't present themselves immediately. It gives your body time to respond to it. And by the time your body is done responding and they can no longer fight, that's when we see the aftermath. So all of this talk is so that we can create awareness and we can seek health care as soon as possible.
Thank you. Okay, so just to add to the blood pressure, you know, hypertension in the young is worrisome, because hypertension is a chronic disease that does not have a cure. So if you see young people, I've seen children, I've seen people in their 20s, in their teenagers having hypertension, there can be something going on with the kidneys. It could be a systemic problem. So usually if the kidneys are affected, the way the body responds is to raise the blood pressure, because the kidney is one of the regulators of the blood pressure. So please, if there is anybody here, you are below 30, you are having hypertension, go and check your kidneys as much as possible. Okay. Then also, when we talk about obesity, like I said, PCOS is one of the major illness that is related with obesity. So if you are having infertility issues, all you might just need to do is to lose weight. And before you know it, you begin to, your hormones begin to regulate themselves, and you might be able to have children. Okay? So that's why it's very good for you to check what you eat. You don't need food that are high in cholesterol. Cholesterol, you know, imagine when you put oil in the fridge, how it sleeps. Just imagine that fat in your blood vessel. So it clogs the blood vessel, thereby increasing your blood pressure. And there are so many complications of blood pressure and diabetes. It can lead to stroke. It can lead to blindness. It can lead to different kinds of cardiovascular events that you do not want to have. And in fact, the truth is we are seeing middle-aged people now, people in their 40s dying of stroke, hemorrhagic. They will just bleed into the brain. In fact, there was one that really was so touching. He came for a prayer walk, okay, and he was rushed into the hospital. By the time we checked, his blood pressure was over 200, 200 over 110. By the time he was unconscious, by the time we would do a brain CT, he had bled into the brain. He died, sadly, for someone that came for a prayer walk to pray in camp. Very sad story. So these are things that can be avoided. All you just need to do is check your blood pressure time to time. Check your sugar level time to time. Please, be careful of what you eat. Especially if you know there is a family history. We are Christians, and I know that, but we shouldn't, because Christians are the difficult ones. Very difficult. They would, even as you are telling them, they'll be arguing with you. Doctor, that's not my report. Doctor, you know, sometimes people will come to the church and give testimony. The doctor said, I'm like, hey, God, doctors are the enemies. We are not prophets of doom. We are just telling you what your body is saying. I'm a Christian. I pray for my patients. And I'll tell them, this is the report. Work on yourself and carry your faith. not carry your faith and neglect your health. Okay? Pay attention to your body. As simple as stress is, stress can induce high blood pressure. I know that, yes, Nigeria is tough. You have some people would wake up very early in the morning to go to Ireland. You wake up as early as 3:30. You come home around 11, stuck in the traffic of Ireland. You are just tired. You go. Imagine having that cycle every day. I've seen someone that comes to the hospital with different symptoms. You know, even myself, I just say, hey, God, you know, what is this one? I cannot even tie it. Just here and there. But eventually, it was just stress. And put on bed rest, you know, and person became fine. So sometimes you can just be feeling tired. You are having this persistent headache. You've treated malaria. And that they'll tell you to treat malaria and typhoid. I don't know why that thing is just so common, you know. They'll say treat malaria and typhoid. You have treated malaria and typhoid. But the headache is still there. You might just need to check your blood pressure. You've been drinking a lot of water. You've been peeing more than necessary. You can wake up to pee like 4 or 5 times in the night. It's not normal. The thing is that when you are sleeping, your bladder should sleep. You shouldn't wake up more than once to urinate. But by the time you're having to wake up in the night 4 times, 5 times, then something is wrong. It's either a sugar problem or a prostate problem. So don't ignore. Your body would always tell you that there is something wrong. You are having a pain in the chest, a crushing pain in the chest. It could be a sign of a heart attack. So don't just neglect them. And all that, like I said, is things we eat. High cholesterol diets and all of that. They can clog your heart. They can clog your vessels, leading to all these conditions that we are having. And if you can be very keen with your lifestyle management, drink water. Everybody say, I will drink water. I will drink at least 3 liters per day. You see, now they are not saying it too, because at least 3 liters per day. You would sweat. You would go up and down. You are one of the causes of chronic kidney disease or whatever is dehydration. Because your kidneys thrive with water. It loves water. That's what your kidney does. Producing urine. It's a water system. It's a water lock. So if you don't give it water, in case you get dehydrated, your kidneys overwork itself and you are sweating, you are doing all of that, you're not giving your body what it needs, it's going to knock down. So please, as much as possible, pay attention to your body. If you are feeling tired, I know that some people like to walk and walk, workaholics. It's not wrong to just, you know, step back and take rest. Even pastors, men of God, yes. I've seen pastors that have died from kidney failure. Pastors that have died from diabetes, from terrible sicknesses. As much as they are praying for other people to be healed, they are not paying attention to their body. So please, I'm begging you, as a church, you know, as a family, let's pay attention to our body. And for women, please pay attention to your breast. Pay attention to your cervix. Breast cancer is everywhere. It's not even taking the older people anymore. It has left the older people and has come to the younger people. You see people of 24 years having breast cancer. And the truth is, most cancers are treatable. Most cancers are not death sentence. If it's picked early, you can treat it. You just need to do chemotherapy, radiotherapy, you know, they might do surgery, and you'll be fine. I've seen people that had breast cancers, and they live extra 10 years, 15 years, because it was detected early. So if you see a lump in your breast, don't tell them to take it out and discard it. They must do, we call it histology. They must do an histology to know the type of lump it is. If it's a benign tumor, well and good. If it is cancerous, sadly, quickly seek help. You might start chemotherapy. There are some side effects of it, but you will be fine. You would live longer. You'll be fine. If there's any family history of cancer, I'm very, very passionate about this. I'm very passionate, and I'm an advocate of breast cancer. Okay, because I've shed a tear or two for people that died, young people that died out of ignorance. You know, out of ignorance. So please, cervical cancer is caused by, we all know, HPV virus, okay? HPV, human papilloma virus. And it's, most of the time, it's sexually transmitted. Women are the ones that receive it because men would carry the bugs and deposit it into them, okay? They might not show symptoms because men don't have a cervix. But women have cervix, and you don't even need to be promiscuous. That's a sad thing. You don't need to be promiscuous. And though promiscuity is one of the risk factors, multiple sexual partner is one of the risk factors for having HPV. So just pap smear. All you just need to do is do it. Actually, you are getting from 25 and above, okay? And you are a woman, you have a cervix, because now we have different genders. You are a woman, or you have cervix, okay? We are in the church. A woman is a woman, a man is a man. If you are not a woman, you are a man, okay? If you have a cervix, go and get tested. Do pap smear, check the health of your cervix. It's fine for females from 25 years, and I think you just do it 5 years. But as you grow older, you'll be doing it three years. So those are the screening. For men, it's PSA, check your prostate. You know, every time, do it yearly just to be sure that you are fine and you do not have any chronic disease you are carrying about. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So in addition to what she mentioned as regarding the PSA, remember that we said that the essence of this gathering is to help us know when to seek health care. If a person here and you notice that, oh, your father had issues with his prostate, even if it was not well defined as at the time the father passed on or is still battling with it, is a sign that you are at risk of having such, because you are a descent, a direct descent from your father. Which means if some things happen to him, there is a chance that it can happen to you. And it would be ignorant to say that, oh, I'm saved, I'm a newborn in Christ, and say, oh, because of that, I won't check. So it's expected that the screening is that from the age of 40 years old and above, we expect that you begin to check from time to time, at least once in a year, especially for those that they have a family history of similar occurrence. Also to add to the diabetes, remember that all we are saying here is not to put fear in us as to, ah, if I have high blood pressure, yay, I'll bleed to the brain. If I have BP, no. The point is that you can seek health care early enough and it can be treated. Most times, people come to the hospital late. Another thing that I've noticed about is that when it comes to, especially pregnant women, you find out that no matter how much you try to educate them, you still find out that they visit traditional birth attendants. And the point is that for some people, they might have visited traditional birth attendants and maybe worked for them, especially if the pregnancy was a smooth one or the labor was a smooth one. But usually, if there is more complication, it leads to more harm to the child. As part of our training, we visited some of these traditional birth attendants and we found out that some of the medications we give in the hospital, they give it in their places too. And they are not giving it at the right doses. So imagine a woman is supposed to contract gradually, and the contraction increases. But then they give a medication that makes the contraction start out very strong from the beginning, which can cause the muscle to tear. For those that work out, you find out that when you gym, the muscle can tear if you stress the muscle too much. It's the same thing with the uterus. The uterus, which is the womb, if you stretch it out too much, it can tear. And some of these people, they get to the hospital really late. You have to take out the womb, and luckily for them, or gracefully for them, they even make it out alive. Most of them, the children are dead. Most of them, the mother also goes with them. So this health-seeking behavior is one of the things we are trying to talk about. There are many and many and many of them. Another one is alcohol ingestion. Like we mentioned in the first service, many times we find people taking alcohol. Amongst the youths, the reason why many of them get involved in alcohol ingestion is maybe due to peer pressure, their friends are taking it, and then you join your friends to take it. And all. Another thing that I always tell people is that when it comes to taking alcohol, smoking, and taking all these hard drugs, our body will respond differently to all of all these things. Your heart will respond differently, your liver will respond differently, your kidneys, your lungs will respond differently. I've seen a person that has been smoking literally all his life, and he's still fine now. Alright, and I've seen some people that just smoked only a few years, battling with lung cancer already in the hospital. The point is that somebody did it and got away with it doesn't mean you get away with it. Some people take alcohol for years and years and years and years, and they may be fine even though they are straining their liver. While some people, they just binged on alcohol one night, just one attempt, and that was it. It destroyed their pancreas, destroyed their liver. They are going in and out of the hospital. and it eventually they spend so much more money to treat themselves on something that could have been easily preventable. Alcohol ingestion can lead to diabetes. Alcohol ingestion can cause many various cancers. It can cause high blood pressure. And you see, when it comes to the subject of diabetes, I know we've talked a lot about diabetes, and I would just like to highlight one of the complications that affect people with diabetes. In general, people that have poorly controlled sugar. And is the fact that it affects the blood vessels and the nerves. So you find out that this particular set of people, they are having numbness in their leg, they are not tingling sensation in their legs. And before you know it, a small injury on that leg will not heal. All right? Our skin has a very ample blood supply, all right, such that when you injure on your skin, because of the plenty blood supply, it heals faster. Now, in the case whereby the leg has been injured, now the diabetes has affected the blood vessel, it has affected the nerves. So now the wound cannot heal. Small cuts, tiny cuts like this that you won't even notice, have stayed 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And now, because they have a poor health-seeking behavior, they don't come to the hospital. By the time they are coming, the small cut has spread to the whole leg. That's come from the foot, that spread to the bones. And then by the time you open it, I'm sorry to say, most times when we open it, if you open one here, many of us will not be able to stay here. That's how bad it smells. If you open one here, you will see maggots coming out of the leg. I'm trying to bring us into the reality of these things so that we know that they are entirely preventable. And usually in such cases, you have to cut off that leg to save the person's life. Now, a person that is dealing with diabetes and could have been working very well all his life, he can even take his medication, live to 70, 80, 90. From just using the medication and doing proper lifestyle management, but he was stubborn or did not even know that he had diabetes, he did not even think about it, or he dismissed it. Because Nigerians, we are very good at dismissing. They will tell you this thing, this is what it is, we dismiss it. We just blow it off our mind and continue living our life. Meanwhile, the damage is going on underneath. Remember that I said, they don't present themselves on the first day. Usually they will give time for your body to respond. The body won't respond. And before you know it, when the body is tired, they will come to the hospital. Most times, many of them come to the hospital unconscious. Many of them come to the hospital. You have to start trying to resuscitate as much as possible before they don't die on your hospital bed. All right.
In summary, what we're just trying to say is pay attention to your health, okay? Pay attention to what you take into your body. As youths, you don't need to take drugs. I know we're in the church, yes, I know. And we all wear clothes and we look innocent. But please, if you are doing drugs, I will beg you to stop it. You are putting strain on your organs. I know people, in fact, it's not even about whether you have money or you don't have money. It's not even about whether you're educated or not educated. I know professionals that are dealing with drugs. And they are strong addicts. They are having end-stage renal failure, going about with the tunneling. But they will still go back because it's an addiction. I know that the first time you tasted that thing, okay, you had that euphoria. You felt so good. But let me tell you that you might never feel that way again. And because you want to feel that same way, you know what the person would do? It would increase the dose, increase and keep increasing, and they become an addict. And eventually they can't help themselves. They become useless to themselves and their families. They become dependent on dialysis. You see them coming in and out of dialysis every time just because their liver is not working anymore. Their kidneys are not working anymore. Their livers are not working anymore. So please, I'm begging you, okay? If you want to feel high, come to church. During praise and worship, you'll be high. During prayer, you'll be high. Speaking tongues, you'll be high, okay? Don't truncate your life. You are too young, okay? You are too young and you have a very bright future ahead of you. So if you are doing it, I beg you, go and seek help. You cannot help yourself. Saying, I will not take it again is not enough. Go and some people might even have to go for rehabilitation to get better. They might even have to give some people medications to help them get better. And if you have anyone that are doing these things, please encourage them as much as possible to seek help. What we are just here to tell you, okay, is whatever phase of life you are in, Whether you're a child, you're a teenager, you're a young adult, or you're an elderly person, take your health very seriously. Take your diet. At least try to eat fruits every day. I know that apples are expensive. You don't need to buy apple, okay? You don't need to buy apple. Orange is cheaper. I'm serious. Orange is cheaper. Pineapple is cheaper, okay? So most times, fruits that are in season are cheaper. You can buy the ones in season and eat and get healthy. They are cheaper than those. Do you know how much a bottle of Coke is? A bottle of Pepsi is now. You will buy two apples. You will buy two oranges or three oranges with that. So can you just replace your diet with some things and do some modifications so that by the time you are approaching your 50s, your 60s, you are looking so young. They'll be asking you that you sure you are this age because you have laid the good foundation for your health. And I hope you know that faith without work is what is dead. So please, our mothers, our fathers, young people in the house, you know, spread the word. Make sure that you pay attention to yourself. Watch your diet. Take as much rest as you can. The truth is that if you keep looking for money, I know everybody is looking for money. You're looking for money. But when the money comes, eventually, if you don't have the health to enjoy that money, it's futility. You've just wasted your time. So take care of yourself. And for people that are diabetic, you know, all you just need to do is your diet. Eat in small portions. Don't eat late into the night. By 7 o'clock, you should have had your diet, your night, your dinner. Okay? If you want to snack on something, you can snack on nuts, you can snack on garden hair, you can snack on cucumber. You don't really need to snack on chocolates and all of that. Cut down chocolates, cut down burger, cut down shawarma. Okay? If you are going on a date, don't buy shawarma. Yes. Buy something, go for parfait. Buy something that would help your body. Buy something that, I'm not saying you shouldn't eat these things, okay? Just eat them in moderation. It shouldn't be your everyday food. It shouldn't be your everyday diet because all these things would continue to build up and eventually cause the problem in the future. All right, so please, if you have questions now, I think we will take your questions, okay? Right? Can we take questions?
Okay, thank you so much. That was very, very insightful. We have some questions here. So someone says,
you can use the link for questions. We're not going to be raising our hands. So the link is right there on the screen. You can use it for questions. Are we good?
All right. Thank you, Pastor Sir. So someone said that, I always feel a sharp pain in my lower abdomen after engaging in sport activities. Please, what does that mean?
All right, I don't know. Is the person a male or female? You don't know. Okay. Well, for female, if you're a female and you're feeling a sharp pain, it could just be anybody, anyway, either male or female, especially because it's after sports. It could just be contractions of the muscle. That's why you are feeling that pain, okay? It could just be major contractions, nothing serious happening to you, and you just need to rest with time. It should get better. And with much exercise, most times, you would start, all those pain will start waning off, okay? But if you're a female and after maybe strong exercise, especially if you are pregnant and you're feeling pain, then probably there's something else you must need to calm down on your exercise. So, do you have anything to add?
All right, so when it comes to exercise, it's also dependent on how you work yourself up through the exercise. So imagine you just start now, you just run 100 meters. You have that pain. Everybody here will have that pain, even if you played ball yesterday. Because you just worked the muscle quickly, boom, down there, and you just had serious contraction and relaxation, sharp, 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 sharp. You would have that contraction. So the point is, that's why you see those that play ball, they have warm-ups. So they don't have cramps. They have warm-ups, and they gradually work themselves up through. Before a match should start, they do warm-up to put their muscles to action gradually. It's not something you put all of a sudden. And if you're a person that, okay, you've not done exercise for months and then you resume gymming, you now start on that first day, you feel so pumped and you just carry many things, do everything. When you wake up the next day, body will tell you. You will feel it. You will feel the muscles contract and you will feel the pain. So you actually have to work yourself up through gradually, gradually, gradually for your body to get adjusted to it. And then if you strain the muscle so much, it's bound to happen. Then it should, in case it is not now the muscle contractions, you may need to see the doctor in the hospital if there's need for other tests.
Thank you very much, doctor. I have one here. I have headache every day. In fact, it's like a normal thing for me. Sitting here and typing this question, I feel it right at the back of my head. What do I do?
All right, thank you for that question. So headache is a very broad topic in medicine. There are different types of headaches. First, I'll start from the simplest I've said, your blood pressure. Have you checked your blood pressure? If your blood pressure is high, you would have headache. Yes, it's one of the signs and symptoms of headache. Okay? So if your blood pressure is fine and you keep having headaches, there are different types. It could be migraine headache. It could be cluster headache. It could be tension headache. Okay? And for migraine, it can happen. Usually you feel, we call it aura. Your body would stay. It's just a sign your body would give you before the headache comes. If you don't have telltale signs, it could just be stress-induced headache. If you are the screen type, you are always staring into your screen, it's going to worsen that headache. So cluster headache, tension headaches are more related to stress. If you're a female, sometimes when you're approaching your period, we call it menstrual migraine, premenstrual migraine. If that person is a female, you can have that, okay? So those are the kind of things that come to the headache. So when it comes to headache, if you keep using medication, there's something we call medication-induced headache and rebound headache, such that if you've been using medication for a long time, the headache would still remain, and you have to stop using medication and just, you know, have we call it a psychotherapy, okay? Make sure that you are, in your mind, you just take your mind off the pain, and before you know it, the headache goes, because your body is so used to that headache that even when you are not, you just feel that there is headache in your head. So it's a lot. There are so many, I think you might need to see a doctor. You might need to do some series of tests, check your pituitary gland, check your, you know, they'll do some tests to be sure that you don't have a tumor and it's something that is just basic, okay? So I think that's what I would say. Do you have any other thing?
All right. In addition to what she said, I think I experience such, all right? And my own kind is especially from the forehead and goes to the back. And it happens after I've been exposed to so much light. As of now, I'm actually already feeling it because of this light. All right? And it happens because the part of the brain that responds to the images from light is at the back of the head. The images we see, the what we see, they are interpreted at the back. So it can just be that simple, that it's because of your screen time, the light. And at the same time, it could be something extreme, something more serious than that. So headache is not a simple term, but very broad, because numerous things can cause headache. If you have malaria, you have headache. If your eyes are not seeing at the level at which they should see, you would have headache. If you are straining to see, you have headache. If you are stressed, you have headache. Emotional stress causes headache. If you are pregnant, you have headache. Premenstrual symptoms, you have headache. Headache is very broad. Many things can cause headache. But it's always important that if you're not sure of what is causing it, if you can't pinpoint it, seek medical help.
All right. Doctor, I have very, very low bowel movements, and I have to use laxatives like Bisacodyl regularly. Is it safe to keep using them long term, or could it harm my system?
Okay, so when you say low bowel movements, it means you are not passing stool frequently and you need to use medications to pass stool. It goes further than that to begin with. But I need to know if you have tried other methods like diet. The truth is, if you are eating much more very solid food, you will have slow bowel movements. But one of the things that help passing bowel faster is eating things that have high fiber. Things like cereal, corn, vegetables. Vegetables do a whole... If I take vegetable today, tomorrow morning, forget it. I'll be purging. You've seen the vegetable in my food, in my stool, because vegetables have a way of increasing bowel motility. And as regarding using Bisacodyl, I don't know if I should say this, There's something for the person, if you're here, you can read up on melanosis coli. It's something that can be affected when you keep using laxatives for a long period of time, such that you, if you see the intestine on the inside as black, as if the intestine was smoking, black spots. Scientists say it's harmless, but it's something that can happen. I won't advise you to continue to use Bisacodil or lactulose or any of all those laxatives. It's always better you try diet remedy. And if it's not still working, please see a professional. Don't see a medical officer. See a consultant. See a gastroenterologist. Don't see a medical officer that just wants to give you relief. And you now say, okay, since he gave me Bisacodil, you'll be buying it in pharmacy, buying. The reason why you are having constipation could be something else. It could be a colon cancer. It could be something else. It could be something pressing on the intestine, not making stool come out. If a woman has a very big fibroid, it has the capacity to press on the colon and you will not let the poo come outside. So it could be just any other thing, and just taking Bisacodil may not solve the problem, because ideally when you eat, you're supposed to pass stool when your body is done with the food. So if stool is not coming out frequently, you need to also see the doctor. Another thing can also be is your electrolyte level. One of the electrolytes very important for passing stool is potassium. You get potassium a lot in banana, you get potassium a lot in plantain, you get potassium a lot in vegetables. So if your potassium levels are low, it can affect your bowel motility. You see the reason why I said you should actually seek professional care. Thank you.
Thank you very much, doctor. The last question. What test can I do for abdominal pain? The pain comes at night and it is very severe.
All right. Abdominal pain is a very broad thing, okay? So I need to know where is the pain, what type of pain it is, does it come and go, you know? I need to know other symptoms that are associated with that pain. So abdominal pain is it's just like headache. It's so broad. In fact, it could be a stone, a kidney stone, causing the abdominal pain. If you're a lady, it could be your ovulation. Actually, at night, you just feel this very sharp pain, but it doesn't happen every day. It just happens when you're about to ovulate, okay? So I need to know what type, where is the pain? Is it a crushing pain? Is it a biting pain, okay? Also, if you're having some, you know, what's it called? Intestinal obstruction and all of that, you can have, even appendicitis can cause pain, all right? So it's a very broad thing. So maybe the person can just see a doctor so that you can know why you have. Even things like, what's it called now? I've forgotten the name of this condition. Whereby you hit something, you have this cramp, and by the time you go to the toilet, you feel better. Okay? It's something that is a chronic thing, and it can happen to you. But there are some tests you can do to be sure. What? Thank you. Irritable bowel syndrome. Irritable bowel syndrome will cause that crampy pain. All right? So I need to know more details about that. So you can just see your doctor. They're going to help you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know we have questions, but you know the Sunday service, so we can't take all the questions. And yesterday we had exercise. The number of people that came for first service and second service, we begged them to come, but you people did not come. If we promise that we're going to have health talk, intensive one, chances are that some people don't care. Some people don't care. We are saying that you have to care about your health. Are we here together? Thank you very much, Dr. Shire and Dr. Susan. Can you celebrate them? Put your hands together and give them. Wow, that was wonderful. There's always a difference between people who know what they are saying and those who are doing trial and error. If you leave them here today now, you hear many more things. While we're discussing some of these things, some people are pressing phone. It's normal. It's normal. It is. But let me say this, then I'll pray for healing. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. In the first service, I prayed. This second service, you will pray. If your parents had any of some of those diseases, let me explain to you. When I was teaching soul tie and sex, and other things. I explained to you that there is transfer that is biological. There is transfer that is from the soul transfer. Then there's transfer that is a spirit transfer. These sicknesses now, they are diseases that are tied to family lineage. They are spiritual. The family line entered covenants with demons. And they say anybody that gets to this point, they will get this thing, they will die. That's our agreement. And some people stroll, they walk around. They don't have a solid relationship with Jesus. So sometimes we're not even fighting the biological alone. No. Sometimes it's not the soul sickness. Then you now talk about the spiritual. That is why you will need medical intervention when it's necessary. You need spiritual intervention. Different interventions for different things. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here, church? Those of us outside, are you here with me? Please, are we there? Are ushers outside ensuring people are not pressing their phones? Yes, please, don't press your phone. I know why I'm saying it. Pressing your phone is also a sickness. Yes. Yes. You will need recovery. Some of us are addicted to our phones already. Some of us cannot sit down and have a conversation for 15 minutes without pressing your phone. Or your body, your hand like this. Before you know it, you need to learn how to. In fact, when you want to sleep at night, keep your phone in the other room, charging, and sleep here. Some people sleep with their phone just by the side of their head like this. Any small grrr. Do you know when you wake up too much at night, part of what it does is that high blood pressure. Yes, that's part of it. I've taken my time to read up some things. So, you know, after you have a health encounter, you will read up and organize yourself. And say, no, it's not a normal thing to be like that. I'll share my story with you, then I'll pray. I shared it in the first service. That after 20 days of glory, during that period, I started, my heart, a kind of malaria symptoms as usual, something like that. I said that, okay, this malaria, I usually deal with it. Sometimes I'll just rest. Sometimes I'll just go and buy pineapple, watermelon, I'll eat myself up, and I'll be fine. Are you getting what I'm saying now? But this time around, I wasn't getting fine, so I got concerned. I was concerned about it. Because for the past 10 years, I've never had any visitation to the doctor. I've not done any check or anything. So I've been living my life and just doing what else I've been doing. So I felt like everything was really very fine and all that. And truly was until that time. I did not realize that during that season, my kidney was already having challenges. Because I usually will not drink a lot of water. You know, when I preach, I sweat a lot here already. When I finish preaching now, the first thing I'm supposed to do is to get enough water intake. You know, when you see white people put water on the table, say, Shakara, what did they do in this one? They are wise enough to know that they are getting water out, they must get water in. But the kind of preaching that I preach, if you preach it, if I do my normal preaching, if you preach it, you can faint. I give people opportunities to do the kind of preaching I do, 3 hours, they can't do it easily. 3 services. But I can preach 4 services. But my body is going to be explaining because there are some things I should use to cover up for that. Are we here together? So all these years, I've been doing my regular stuff, and I did not realize that some things were already going on in my system. Then after 20 days of glory, when I noticed those things, I reached out. Then the doctor that I met like 10 years ago, I've always known her, but nothing. So now I said, how are you? I said, fine. So I'm beginning to have some kind of headache. I realized I'm feeling this. And she said, that's quite much. When was the last time you saw it? I said, you're the last person I saw. She said, yeah, 10 years ago. She said, that's serious. Why are you doing like that? Your health, this. So she prescribed some tests that I was supposed to do. So I picked up the things that she mentioned, and I ran these tests. And when I saw the results, it was not a good result. It was not encouraging. I was like, why? Why is my kidney like getting to this point? Why? Then I also realized that, in fact, it was not even normal for me at that point to think of that. There was a sort of slight push. My electrolyte levels, everything was just in shambles. I needed a lot of vitamins to supplement my system, you know. And I also discovered that they said one something around my prostate, whatever. And I said, no, now, why? What am I doing with all these things? I bind you, I cast you in the name of Jesus. But I didn't allow it affect me mentally. I was still preaching. I come to church. You will not know. Did you know before? All the pastors did not know. Only my wife will understand what's happening to me. you know, and my children, of course, they will not know they are young. So I went for a scan. Then one Sunday morning, I was coming to church. After the first test, I saw it and I didn't like it. So I spoke with Dr. Chris also. Then he talked about fiber. That's when I knew I needed a lot of fiber to pass so very well. So he checked the results and he saw all the vitamins and stuff that I was lacking. Then he said, if I keep taking fruit, it will work, but it will take a long time. But how about taking this in this portion this season? Then after then, you can continue. So he gave me vitamins, different, you know, magnesium, zinc. I still remember their names. Yeah, different. How would I be drinking zinc? Zinc is for roof. You know, so I took all the things that he gave to me and I started taking the vitamin and all that. And I was praying. Then I was supposed to do a major MIR scan, but they posted something and I was like, I can't understand. So that morning I was going to preach in church. They fixed my test for Sunday afternoon because, again, I'm a pastor and I think a lot of people know me and I don't want to go the normal day. So I asked when would be low traffic. And funny enough, I still met people I knew that day. I know your Instagram, pastor. I said, yeah, fine. You know, and I went there on a Sunday, Afri Global. I'm not advertising them, just to know that, so you know that I went somewhere. So when Daniel drove me, we went there. But before then, I noticed in the church that as the worship session was about to go on and I was about to come up, I came up and as the worship was going on there, right there, I got my body back. I knew something left me. So I came up, I had the service. After the service, I rushed to my wife and I said, something left me. I have gotten my body. I just feel my body now. I feel my body now. And she was like, wow, yes, I feel my body. But I still needed to go for the test. So when I got there, I did the MIR scan. And what the test results initial one showed that led me to the MIR. From the MIR scan, they said, everything about your prostate is very perfect. You don't have any issues, blah, 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 blah. I said, thank you, Jesus. Then I needed to redo the other test again after I had taken my vitamins prayerfully and I started speaking to my body. I spoke to my kidneys specifically. You know, you need to know what. That's why you do check. I know what, then I speak. So I started telling my kidneys bounce back in the name of Jesus. I need replacement of kidney. And my kidneys are replaced. They are brand new. I told God what I was saying is that, God, I don't preach half-baked messages. I preach the whole counsel of God, and I need a good body, complete and perfect. I prayed it like that. I took my strong reason to God. Because whenever I preach in church like this, I'm one of those persons, I believe that I try to preach the whole counsel of God. If you don't like it, it's not a big problem. Just that I have to preach what the word of God says. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So I told God, I said, I preach it. I don't hide it. I don't preach a message that makes people come because I just need their attention. I preach your word. Give me a full and a complete body. As I give your people complete spiritual food, give me complete body. And that was my prayers. And I went back for my test. And by the time I came back and I saw the test, I sent it to him again and his wife. You know, and it was from here, stage 3, chronic kidney disease. That's what I said. They said I had chronic kidney disease, stage 3. So I was 58. Then I moved from that place to 92 now. That's like the kidney of a new baby again. That's like kidney that is just not working, that's just starting to work. Because there's still a long journey. We have a whole lot. But how did it come? I checked. I asked questions. I said, I have doctors, sons and daughters that are doctors. Let me ask them questions. I checked. I asked questions. I followed through. Listen. Your genes from your parents has naturally pulled the trigger that whatever happened to them is supposed to happen to you. But your lifestyle can decide that it will never happen. Because the lifestyle of your parents, if you follow the same lifestyle, eat the same thing they were eating, because you are living in the same house and live the same life they were living, the same thing that happened to them will naturally happen to you. So I noticed the things that my dad and all that, so I started moving off some of those things. I stayed away for some things for some while. I started drinking a lot of water. I stayed with nuts, you know, cashew nuts, groundnuts, grapes. I started eating special kind of fruits. You know, just take time. Some will say it's expensive. Maybe not really. Those ones, I took them because of the fact that I wanted a lot of those. I don't have to eat all that every time. So that I did all that and I started praying. I knew when I got my body, I told my wife, I said, I've gotten my body. I know what I'm saying. I've gotten my body. I'm healed. I was sure. And that is how supernaturally God has changed everything. As I am now, the last test I did, everything, all of them, renal, my creatinine level, my liver function test, everything perfect. That is the hand of God. Rise up on your feet. We are going to pray this morning. Somebody will receive a touch. You are going to pray. Any sickness that exists in my bloodline, I am now a Christian. I am born again. I am spirit filled. I want to be able to stand my ground. You will pray. Anything. Some people, breast cancer, your mom or something. Don't let that mindset of, maybe that's how that. That's not how you will die. You are a Christian, but you must speak and you must act by checking. You must act by doing the thing and change your lifestyle. One of my prayers at the end of the day for everybody is the discipline to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Eat well and do the right thing. I'm praying it. Because some people, they are very stubborn to it. Some people will still drink Coke as if Coke is water. They drink 2 every day. They drink Pepsi 2 every day. Like a Sarah. Sorry for mentioning names of companies. They are not bad totally, but once, they are not things you should. For 5 years now, I've not taken anything that is soda. I don't take soda. 5 years, intentionally. And I'm sure that in 15 years' time, 20 years, if I stand with some of my mates, I'll be looking 10 years younger than them. I see some of my mates and I'm like, why is this person looking like this? Why are you looking like this? It's intentionality. Are we getting what I'm saying? But let's start from the spiritual side. Lift up your hands and you will pray. I want you to pray passionately. I want you to pray passionately. Passionately, I want you to pray from your heart. Every sickness that exists in my bloodline, that ordinarily, they said naturally, that is what should have happened, but not me. I'm not living the natural life again. The supernatural is now at work. You're going to lift up your hand. I want you to shout it and pray together with me. Can you say in the name of Jesus? I can't hear you. Shout it in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, disease that exists in my bloodline and has been affecting people, today I declare I am an exemption to the rule. I declare that sickness, you cannot come near me. You cannot come near me. In the name of Jesus, I cast you out. In the name of Jesus, I declare I will not suffer the fate of others in my family line. In the name of Jesus, can you lift up your voice and pray? Somebody pray here now. That's not how to pray the prayer. You are dealing with spirits. You are dealing with foundational things. You are dealing with demons that hold on to family line and say the same thing. A man's father died of drug addiction, smoking. The guy is there already now. Some people died of alcoholism. The guy is also doing the same thing right now. Some people breast cancer and all that. And Satan is presenting the same thing. Sometimes different things everywhere. Say, it's not me. I refuse. I reject it. You're not praying. You're not praying. You're not praying. Shagadara baba 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 bosh. Reke seketele boshata. Agbara olorupo. Agbara olorupo. Ola. I want you to pray. I will do the singing. You pray. Pray. I'm driving the worship to support the prayer. I raise an incense before God. And shana ke sogete lebo shata. Swana ke de 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 Sanege de lebo shana gabara pataraba. Suana gadara baba 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 baba. I declare that I will not suffer the fate of those that have been ahead of me. Whatever the struggle in the bloodline of my family, this is a new bloodline. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The DNA of Jesus is at work in my body. The DNA of Jesus is at work in my body. The DNA of Jesus is at work in my body. The DNA of Jesus. Shaba de gedelebo shantele. Esende gedelebo shantele. Eko se gedelebo shanaga. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let your amen thunder loud. This doesn't look like people praying. Listen, on Friday night, supernatural, you don't know what happened. Some people were joking. They were pressing phone. And people were being healed already. I left that night. I had an invitation from a father that is a man of God that's senior, so I respected him. I normally will not leave my church that kind of thing. I will not. You know, but I went out. And when I went to preach, a lady said she's not been online. But she came online at the point I was praying in their church. She met me here on Saturday at the wedding and said, I am friend to so-so person, part of the people who came for the wedding. And she told me, I said, wow. She said, I told myself that any day I see the pastor, anywhere I find the pastor, I will, maybe Instagram, I'll reach out to him to tell him what happened that night. The same anointing that moved from here was the same thing that moved there. The same message I preached here was the same thing I preached here. Gates, lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your head. There are messages that we soak on. And when I finish soaking on the message, I know by myself that if I see Satan now, I will crush your head. It's a level. It's a dimension. You stay with it. I was just there. And while I was there, I ministered here. I noticed that some people, of course, people were touched and healed in that service. But I went to that place. And when I was preaching, the number of people were lesser. But I prayed and I preached with all my heart and my life. The lady said there was something that was supposed to happen in her life. A grant, Tony Elimelu, whatever. That do you know that somehow the gates were shut? So I told you one of the signs that your gate is shut is low remembrance. You will not be remembered. See, a good thing can come and it will slip off your hand. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? So the lady said she was that service. That she had joined different stuff online because that season, this period, a lot of things are happening. But she thought to herself, let me even join the one that they're doing. And so she did not appear physically. She was at home. That I was around that time, I was wrapping up the message and I was praying. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Every gate of sickness that has held any other person bound in your bloodline that they always complain about, that is a common thing. Today I declare in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, I command the gate be lifted in the name of Jesus. I say be lifted in the name of Jesus. I say be lifted in the name of Jesus. The King of Glory comes in the name of Jesus. It was at the time the declaration was going on, 4 a.m. She said she keyed into it. And she was just there. And all of a sudden, she realized that while she was there, and I was praying for remembrance, that the gates are not shut again. Every opportunity that you have missed, may God open it again. I prayed that prayer, and she said, 1 year ago, they sent her a mail from Tony Elumelu and gave her a grant, and she missed it. That it was there, God just told her. That as this prayer was going on now, something just broke. But I want you to see what you have lost. And when she came here, I said, look forward again. There is something you will recover. Because when God opens your eyes to see it, she said she knew it. That was that prayer. Because why will I be in this prayer? And also, she said, check your mail. And the mail she was checking was 1 year ago she stumbled on. And she feel like, did I miss it? I said, no. God is showing you that the recovery season has started. Anyone under the sound of my voice, by the Spirit of God, whatever you have lost, and you are not aware of kidney, your lungs, your livers, part of your body going down and weaker, that you are not aware, chronic diseases, known and unknown, I command right now, in the name of Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I have had conversations, you know, with the doctors, and I've asked them questions sometimes, and sometimes they are the ones who are saying it, that some things may I feel. She said, I perceive that cancer, there must be a demon around it. They are demon spirits, so they are called, Bible calls them spirits of infirmity. Don't joke, they are spirits of infirmity. Addiction can be a spirit that has vowed that what killed your father, who going everywhere and drinking and die, that's how you too would die. You tell yourself, not me. Somebody say, not me. I can't hear you shouting, say, not me. Every spirit of infirmity hanging around your bloodline, hanging around your family, waiting for 25, waiting for 30, waiting for 35, waiting for 40, hanging to wait for your old age. I declare today in the name of Jesus, they are crushed in the name of Jesus. They are crushed in the name of Jesus. They are crushed in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice, say, in the name of Jesus, I shall not die before my time. I shall not die before my time. I will not live struggling with my health. I will not live struggling with my health. In the name of Jesus, I have sound health. I have sound health. I have sound health. My body is sound. My heart is sound. My liver sound. My lungs sound. My vessels sound. In the name of Jesus. He sent forth his word, and his word healed them and delivers them from all their destruction. He said, oh, test and see that the Lord is good. Now tell me Jesus does not heal. Have I not been healed? Don't I know what healing is? Those who have experienced it know it. It's not the first time Jesus will heal me. There are different things, there are different types of some other things, maybe just pains. I preached one vigil here after the preaching of the vigil. When I just got the first report about the kidney, all my back. God, I said, God. I now went to check online. It's a part of the things that kidney can cause, back pain. I said, hey, Jesus. But I told myself, no, you're a man of faith. Stand your ground. And I started speaking to that back. Sir, since after 3 months ago, I have preached harder sermons. I even go 2 times. I preached this one here. I went preach there. And that back pain, I have never felt. I'm here. I'm standing here and I'm telling you, I have never again felt that back pain. Because Jesus is a healer. Anything that goes and comes. Anything that goes and come will show up and go and come. You spend money before it will go. I declare in the name of Jesus. Today, that cycle ends in the name of Jesus. That cycle ends in the name of Jesus. Satan says, slow down. Just manage your 2 services. So it doesn't matter the crowd you are seeing. Manage. And when I saw my body was fine and everything, I said, no, 3 services. I was still telling people, I said, I'm about to start 4 services where I'm seeing it. Because there's a crowd in the tent, and this is not the crowd that Jesus promised me. This is not the kind of church that I'm going to pastor. I'm pastoring a church that is a church of thousands upon thousands. I see it. And it takes a lot of good health to do it. Am I making sense? No matter the vision God gives to you, your body is what will carry it. Everybody that is here that God has given to you and Satan is trying to manipulate so that you will not accomplish that great vision that God has given to you. I declare, may the Holy Ghost breathe upon your body in the name of Jesus. Breathe upon your system in the name of Jesus. Breathe upon your body in the name of Jesus. You that person that the devil always shows you the picture of your father and how he died and said that is how you're going to end. Today, I declare that picture, whatever that vision is, from now it expires in the name of Jesus. You're already feeling the symptoms and you have gone to ask and they said, well, it's a normal thing. It's a common thing in our family. Tell them my family changed them. I changed family. The Bible says this one was born in Zion. This one was born in Zion. This one was born in Zion. I declare, may the certificates that you receive the day you got to know Jesus Christ, may it reflect and override your biological ancestry in the name of Jesus. Receive life in the name of Jesus. Receive strength in the name of Jesus. You are healed now in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, all spirit of infirmity, strangers hear my voice and they come out of their hiding places. I command you, come out now in the name of Jesus. Come on now in the name of Jesus. Come on now in the name of Jesus. Now you are healed. I say now you are healed. I say now you are healed. I say now you are healed. Infections are drying up now already. In the name of Jesus. The mercy of God is speaking. You were careless, sexually careless. And Satan said, that's what my... Today, whatever has happened to your womb, your cervix, as a result of your carelessness, when you did not know much about Jesus, jumping up and down, I ask Father, let your mercy, let it prevail in the name of Jesus. You said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy on. That means mercy says, I know what you have done in the past, but because you have come to me, I will help you. Just as the woman that knelt down before Jesus and she found help. Anyone that is saying, God, I'm not going back there again. I just need you one touch, just one touch. I declare, be healed in the name of Jesus. I met a young guy 2 months ago there about, we're coming from somewhere. When he came to this church, he told me, he said, Pastor, I have HIV. That's what he told me, I have HIV. I've done my test and everything. He said, but I don't want to die. I said, you're sure? I still saw him 2 weeks ago, healthy and strong now. Because after we prayed, he came back. I said, Pastor, I have checked myself. I'm not sick again. Everything is fine in my body. God has touched me. I still saw him when I was coming back from, I was coming back with my wife. I wanted to buy something somewhere. And he happens to be the manager of the place where we came out. And he said, he wanted to see me. He came to greet me. I still saw him. He had HIV. It disappeared. There is a miracle working God. Anyone that desires a miracle here in this service, by the power that is in the name of Jesus, I declare, receive your miracle now. Receive your healing now. Receive your baby now. Receive your job now. Receive a new opportunity now. In the name of Jesus. It is settled. I say it is settled. I say it is settled. I say it is settled. You are coming back with your testimony.
you are coming back with the scan result, the test, and you are saying, Pastor, see what the Lord has done. That will be somebody's testimony here. Testimony that has proof with scan result. I have my own test. Proof. I have it
like this. Nobody telling me. I had to do the test in the same place first, so that the same machine that said no to me, you will say yes now. What are you doing? And it shifted.
You are coming back with your scan. You are coming back with the doctor's report. Now it not be negative again. I said now it will not be negative again. In the name of Jesus.
Lift up your voice and begin to thank God in this service. Bless the name of the Lord. Begin to bless him for healing. If you know your mother has been healed, bless her. He's blessing for her, because she will testify. You know that person that you were standing in for, they are healed already. Bless God. Bless God. Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything.
One more time. Let's do the song.
Say in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything. And when you heal come. Oh,
thank you, Jesus. While we are all standing here, please keep standing. If you are here, you have a spirit sickness. Spirit sickness is salvation. If you are not saved, your spirit is dead. You need to encounter Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that you can know him personally. You are in this service, Pastor Mavis, I want to accept Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Can you quietly raise your hand wherever you are? Confidently raise it, please. We are inside or outside, raise your hand confidently. I want to pray with you this morning. You want to raise your hand, you want to make a commitment to follow Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. Raise it. If you are upstairs, raise it. If you are downstairs, raise it. If you are on the gallery, raise it. If you are online, indicate with an emoji so that we can connect with you. Please raise it. Be confident. Don't be ashamed of him. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. That's what he said. Don't be ashamed of him. Be very bold. Be very confident. Raise your hand confidently, wave it, and I'm going to pray with you right now. I'm going to pray with you right now.
Lord, I give you my life, I give you my soul, I live for you, every breath, oh, every moment I'm away.
As your hands are lifted, say it after me, Lord Jesus. I come to you today. Have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. I know that you do not just heal, you also save. I know that in salvation is the total package. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I confess that you are my King and my Deliverer. And I declare now, because of your blood shed for me, I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Put your hands together, celebrate Jesus, everybody. Let's do that. Celebrate him louder, 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 louder. Louder, louder, louder.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.